Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. on the East Coast, and this is Here Be Monsters Radio with the Sunday Show. We're just a group of people getting together with progressive ideas who sit and talk about what's going on the past week in the news. But then again, you could talk about the last 20 minutes and still have a full show.
Who would have ever thought we'd reach this point?
You know, who would have thought, really?
It's amazing. And you know, I thought Bush was bad, and he was, and Cheney was terrible, but I never imagined we'd not only have but be able to survive this horrible Trump. This guy is something else. He defies logic. He's incredible.
Yeah, it's gone from bad to worse.
Yep.
This week, and Jack, I'm putting my earplugs in, so excuse the background noise.
Oh gosh, shut up.
Oh, that was great. Thank you.
There you go. Well, it's never a dull moment with this guy. He's constantly popping off his mouth, accusing people of stuff. He's irresponsible as hell. He's like a big overgrown baby. And I wish he'd just go back to his playpen and shut up for a change, you know? But no, he just keeps on babbling nonsense and conspiracy nonsense, and everybody's an enemy, and everybody's suspect, and this guy, he's wacko. He's insane.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there. He's over in Japan right
now. Japan,
yeah. I'm sending out some messages to see if we can get some folks on online here.
Yeah, we're hoping to have a couple of old friends join us here briefly here. It's been a long time since we've talked to them, and I'm looking very forward to it.
Yeah, so I'll send a few messages out and see if they can make it.
Yeah, I hope so.
And it's basically right now what's going on is that did you catch what the Republicans did to Nancy Pelosi with those videos?
Oh,
after
you know, that's all they can do is lie and distort and change. They can't deal with the truth because it's so unfathomable even to them. And, you know, that's why they got to make her look like a drunk. And, you know, it's just, it's so childish. I wish these guys would grow up and get real. This is not conservatism anymore. This is something really, really dangerous and wacky. It defies logic. It's crazy.
Well,
I would like to sometime talk to a real, honest-to-goodness conservative who isn't swayed by this Trumpian nonsense. You know? It's just we've gone from we've gone from bad to worse. We really have.
Well, yes, and the fact is that I don't know if you caught AM Joy this morning, but she really was banging. She put it to one of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, and gave them all the reasons why impeachment
Trump should be impeached. Yeah,
it should be beginning. And
yeah, she's been covering bases for a lot of the other commentators on MSNBC lately as kind of a sub, and she's been doing a great job. I like AM Joy. I like Joy. Joy Reid's a good lady.
Yeah, well, she comes right to the point, and
yes,
she doesn't make it a barbecue. Makes it more of a, you know, why is this happening, and what is your answer, and what are you going to tell the public?
Yeah, she's very analytical. I like that about her.
This morning, she basically went to task with, now I'm forgetting his name, but he's on the Judiciary Committee with the Democrats, and he was basically giving the same old bunk about, you know, well, if we put these investigations in order and we subpoena these people. Well, they're subpoenaing people right and left, and
yeah.
nobody's answering up. And what's with Mueller? What's with Mueller that he won't sit in front of the people of the United States and say exactly what he found out? That is really bad.
Well,
in
you know, in a way, I can't really blame him. He doesn't want to become part of a political circus, and that's what it becomes. Everything gets so overcharged and delirious, and I don't blame him for wanting to avoid that. I do wish he would speak in front of some congressional committee, though, and not be grilled, but be talked about and analyze some of the reports, some of the things that he reported upon, you know.
Well, Jack, let's put it this way. Until Sam Ervin sat down and started
right.
investigating in front of live cameras, the United States people did not understand what was really going on. Mueller
yeah.
knows this, and Mueller is not sitting in front of the American people, sitting down and saying, this was the mandate I was served, this is what I found out, this is what you should be hearing. Instead,
well, keep in mind, though, Gwen, here's an important difference between now and then. We're talking back in the 70s when there were three major networks plus PBS, and that was it. And now you've got hundreds of cable networks, many of which are so-called news, and they're all vying for readers or viewers.
Yeah,
it's gotten into a circus.
But what does that have to do with him sitting down in front of the American people and answering the committee's questions about the investigation that he ran and the report that he turned in? Has nothing to
well,
do
back,
with that.
But keep in mind, back in those days, you didn't have jerks like Jim Jordan out there that were so very viciously partisan and wouldn't listen to anything. The Republicans a lot of them had long faces. And they didn't like what was going on, but they accepted it. They didn't like it. Some of them rejected it, but not like today. Today it's really insane.
So what you're saying basically is he's a coward and doesn't want to face the Republicans.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far at all. I think Mueller did a very good job. I just wish he'd gone a little bit further and would have made the determination that, you know, something should have been indictable or whatever, you know.
Sure. Nobody knows for sure at this point how far he went and completely what he found out, because it's being kept from the American people.
Well,
anymore.
And, you know, another thing, too, the Republicans want to shut this down. They don't want to have anything more to do with it.
Well, they're
getting
their way.
They say enough is enough. They want to just walk away from it and forget about it as though it never happened.
And at this point, they're getting their way. The
yeah,
Democrats
that's a shame.
are not doing enough, quick enough, fast enough, or even the right procedures. It doesn't matter what they think about. You know, the truth is that in 2020 there are so many women that are going to line up to vote
yeah.
for anything but Trump.
Yeah,
that
they
shouldn't be playing politics at this point. Nancy Pelosi is not a stupid woman. She knows what the chess game is, but in this, I believe she is making a very bad mistake, and it's going to cost instead of gain. And
well,
I still
she's
come
being
back
overly
to why
cautious. She's afraid what's going to happen to her is what happened to the Republicans after they tried to go after Bill Clinton. They completely forget, though, one big thing here. Bill Clinton was very popular with the voters, even though a lot of Republicans hated his guts and wanted him impeached and wanted him removed. It failed. But not only that, he was popular with the general public, whereas Trump is at most mild or very unpopular and mildly unpopular with most people.
Well, it's still not. They're still not serving us as they're supposed to.
Right, I agree.
And I still don't understand why Robert Mueller doesn't sit down in front of the cameras and tell the people what his committee found out, what his investigation brought forth, what
right.
his appendix was that he put, what he put on top of that report to have go out to the public that wasn't. Why doesn't he do that? That is a real
And you know,
big
it would be it would definitely be detrimental to Trump, and it might even be successful in getting him out of office. You know, not through impeachment necessarily, but just he'd find it so politically impossible to remain in office and keep spewing out this nonsense that he would just have to resign. You know,
he'd have
some Republicans come up to him the way the old Republicans did in the days of Nixon, Barry Goldwater, and people like that. Came up and said, "Hey, the jig's up, buddy. You gotta leave. You gotta move on." But that's not happening right now. And the Republicans, to a man and to a woman, are solidly behind Trump. Even mildly, they're behind him too much. And that's insane because the guy is clearly not only despicable, but he's also anti-democracy in many ways, and he's authoritarian as hell.
Did you miss the part where we are now being ruled by autocracy?
That's what's going
on.
And this bullshit, he gave Barr all this unlimited permission to do whatever he wants.
He's going to go investigate our intelligence community.
Yeah, investigate the investigators.
And start outing our intelligence community. He's going to... put the spurs to the FBI and put them on the grill. And the Democrats are allowing all of this to happen.
That's a horrible thing. You know, and it just shows the Democrats, it's not like they're too complacent because they only hold one chamber and they don't hold the presidency. It's just like they're wimpy. They're weak. They should get up there and stand up and defend their own country, for God's sakes. But instead, they're just hoping to get out of this alive, you know. It's just, the cowardice on the Democratic side is, it's unthinkable.
There are candidates out there running for Democratic primary.
Right.
Now, the day after, a week of over five states banning abortion. Joe Biden comes out and says, you know, kicks off his candidacy with the tone deafness of we need to make friends with the Republicans and bring unity. This has never been a country of unification.
Right.
Never, ever, ever have we been.
Although right now it's like rabid dogs attacking each other. It's unfathomable right now. It's not healthy.
Yeah. But the majority rules, and in two states where that electoral college bunkered the Republican into office has been the gerrymandering in several states, but in those two states in Pennsylvania.
You're talking about Michigan and Pennsylvania?
Michigan, yes, have been they have to be redefined before the elections, before the primaries.
Good. That's going to help. Because it was a travesty what the Republicans did. You know, they can't win honestly. They can't win on argument alone. They can't win on position or policy statements alone. They've got to cheat. They've been at this for years.
Well, of course, because what they are is profiteers and corrupt politicians.
Exactly.
And the Democrats are acting the same way, that all they care about is the next election, when they refuse to take the actions in Congress that they need to be doing. They've actually become the impotent arm of our republic. There is
no potency there.
Even though Nancy Pelosi comes out and always one-ups him, it doesn't matter. They're not taking the actions, and those actions.
Well, they're not going
impeaching.
For the throat the way they should be. They should be lambasting this guy nonstop, and they should be drilling him so bad he can't even stand up straight. But no, they're taking the good way out and being the mellow people. And you know, sometimes you can't be mellow. You got to fight. You got to put up your dukes, and you got to fight.
Yeah,
they refuse to do that.
Well, I was real impressed with what Mayor Pete had to say this week about Trump and his refusal for what he basically did was what do they call it when they avoided the draft? He was a draft dodger.
A draft dodger, yeah, exactly.
And he called him out on it, and he called him out on it very well. He was well-spoken,
yeah.
And
where are all the
listening
conservatives that bemoaned the draft dodgers in the old days? Where are they now? Oh, they're supporting Trump. What the hell gives? What has happened to this country? We've turned ourselves on our own ear. It's just, it's unfathomable, unfathomable. That's a mouthful.
Well, you know, the Democrats have requested just so many documents to be subpoenaed on his professional and personal life, his finances.
Yeah.
And the Treasury Department, nobody is Stephen
Mnuchin is terrible.
Mnuchin is,
what a
is
stooge.
Just a whore.
What a stooge.
They're all a horror show. And Law and Order is it's just a television show. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Good point. That's a great quip. I love that.
But on Monday evening, Mehta, I think is his name, ruled that Mazars has to turn over its records related to Trump. And,
right, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, Trump's been losing on the legal front.
In the courts, yes.
In the courts
and
all the time. He has not won one major case yet, and he won't either because he's so corrupt and he's anti-democracy. He's not good for the country. But he'll fight every step of the way to delay, and just hope by some miracle he can win out in 2020 and be reelected. That will never happen. He's in dreamland big time. He's delusional. But at any rate, he has the hope, and so do certain Republicans. They hate to lose a guy with an R beside his name, you know.
Yeah, well, there's a memo going through the IRS right now that says that despite Mnuchin's claims furnishing Trump's returns to the House Ways and Means Committee is mandatory.
Absolutely. It's a 1924 law, for God's sakes, and there's no dispute over the matter.
Yes, but here's the way it's been going. I mean, these people are so confused in D.C., and the only ones that have any real authority are the other branches, the executive branches.
Yeah.
Against the executive branch is the
against
Congress.
Against the executive
and the
branch,
Senate.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple of Republicans this past week who have stepped up and said, you know.
Yeah, that one fellow from Michigan came up and said Trump should be impeached.
Yeah, but he isn't the only one. There's been a few.
Yeah, that's good. The more the merrier. and, you know, impeachment is a long, drawn-out, nasty battle. It's never fun. It's always, but it is very revealing. We learned a lot about Nixon that wouldn't have known otherwise without those Sam Ervin impeachment proceedings, which were wonderful. And Howard Baker was a Republican who had the guts and the integrity to stand up against his own president at that time. And hats off to him. He did a great job. We need that same type of Republican today to stand up against a very corrupt president.
Well, McGahn has refused to come over and testify. And why don't they send the sergeant of arms? This is what they can do and they haven't done.
Yeah,
they
should.
They can send the sergeant of arms. They can arrest these people for not showing up. It's mandatory.
Yep.
They can take them into custody.
They
and
should.
Not,
you know, I agree.
And they're not
doing you got to fight hardball with hardball. And they're trying to do it with lumpy coal. You know, that won't work.
Interesting thing I found out this past week. It was just an oddity that came up on an Instagram post that liquor store sales in D.C. in the District of Columbia are up 26%. Now, that's not even counting the bars.
Incredible. Isn't that something?
Well, yeah, no, people are you know, after a day, can you imagine spending a day in Congress right now? and coming out. I mean, I know the first place I'd head to is the corner watering hole to say, can you believe this car wreck we're in?
You know, it's amazing what you can, the inferences you can draw from certain other events that seem unrelated but really are related in the abstract,
well,
you know.
It shouldn't be forgotten that the Constitution was hammered out and written up, especially the Bill of Rights, in a tavern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where they all met up. That and there are a few other places in Philly, but this all came about over a few drinks.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, one thing is for sure. There's been lies in Washington since day one, but the amount of lies and the incredible not only number but the severity of these lies has risen exponentially in the last 2 years since Trump's been in office. This guy is a walking lie and Giuliani and all these other goofballs. All they do is lie. They distort and lie and tell just blatant falsehoods. That, you know, it just defies logic.
Well,
they must think there's a lot of stupid people out there, you know?
The video that got posted that went viral,
right.
The first person who posted it was Giuliani, this one that made
typical. He probably made it.
Made to sound a bit drunk or slurring her words.
Yeah.
He took it down real fast, though.
Well, he should. That guy's a scoundrel.
Apparently, he was told that he should have known it, but he was told that he could be sued for good deal
of
money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
what did it. That's what did it. Yeah,
yeah.
Undoubtedly.
That
guy is an absolute scoundrel. He may have once been America's mayor. I didn't even like him in the Bush days, in the 9/11 days. I thought he was overbearing then. He's gone off the charts now, though. The guy, all he does is lie just to get headlines, just to get attention. He and Trump are a lot alike that way. You know, they need attention all the time or they're not happy. The unhappier they are, both of them, the happier I am. You know?
I get you. I hear what you're saying. You know, it was New York State legislature last week approved the bill in their Senate that allows them to turn over Trump's
state
tax returns
to
Congress if requested by the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee.
And they will reveal a lot about him, and it'll show once and for all, I believe, it'll show that he is not the billionaire he claims to be. He's not anywhere near as wealthy as he claims to be.
It's not just that. I think what it will show is high crimes
and tax fraud.
Misdemeanors. Well, high crimes and misdemeanors.
Oh, yeah.
This son of a bitch came out and called people a traitor.
Oh, yeah.
This week.
Well, he doesn't even know
that
what traitor refers to.
That angered me more than anything because it's quite obvious that people like Flynn and the Exxon fella, who all of them have called him a moron.
Oh, yeah.
This has been nothing but about profit.
Even his former Secretary of State called him a moron.
Right, that's who I'm talking about.
And now he's getting cast over the rails by Trump. You know, Trump is a very thin-skinned weakling, is what he is. He's a weakling. He's trying to portray himself as a big tough guy, but he's anything but. He's got a glass jaw.
Yeah,
he's weak as hell.
Yeah,
thin-skinned.
But he's winning the moment. He is winning the moment. You
but
know
he's
why
gonna
he's winning
lose,
the
he's
moment?
He's going to lose eternity.
He's what he's winning in the moment is the Republic, the United States of America.
Yeah.
Every day, our institutions are being gutted.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The judicial, and now what's he going to do to our intelligence and our FBI?
Yeah.
I mean, people.
Well, he's tried to discredit them from day one because he's afraid of them. He knows that they can prove him to be a wrongdoer, and he wants to quash that.
But now, you know, where's the black bag group when you need them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know
I agree.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Caller, I've opened up your microphone. And I think I recognize that number. That's 91. Go ahead. The mic's open. 917 area code.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We're bitching, moaning, complaining. Who's on the horn?
Sounds like old times, but Sandy's here with me, and we just had to call in this week. I'm not sure that we have anything good to say, but we just wanted to talk to you two.
Well, it's been so long. It's great to hear your voice again. Good to hear from you guys.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good.
In spite of it all.
Tell us what you're complaining about this week. We'll let you know what we have to say.
Well, I'm sure it's Trump related and Republican Congress related. Republican Senate.
What we were just talking about is the gutting of so many of our institutions daily, like the EPA, the Energy Commissions, the Housing Authority. Now we're gonna get a gutting over at the FBI and the intelligence communities, which, you know, nobody's friend here. However, they serve a big purpose in this country.
Oh yeah.
And on top of it all, we're bitching and moaning and complaining about what we, and on my part, what we think is the inaction of the Democrat Congress, not to go ahead and proceed with impeachment.
What do you have to say,
Sandy? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been an old Republican tax to basically, if you oppose an institution and it's, you don't really have any true philosophical grounding or procedural grounding for opposing it, you just run it into the ground.
Right.
That's the way you can dismantle just about any social program or any institution. It's interesting that, you know, again, like those of us on the left who are progressives and have so many longstanding issues with the NSA, the CIA, they're being dismantled for reasons that I think threaten everyone. So these are interesting times. And when we're living, in, you know, 3 years into a presidency where the president accuses the CIA of having a left agenda. That just
how insane. That shows you he's deluded.
A lot of things, but they're not Marxist by any means.
The guy should be put in a mental house. He's lost it, and he claims Nancy Pelosi's lost it. He's really lost it.
I think that's the thing we have to stop underestimating. The extent to which someone being disingenuous is very effective.
Oh, yeah.
He can play
dumb
well. And, you know, he appeals to a part of the electorate that just doesn't want to think about things.
Exactly.
Seems like a really cool thing to say, but it's been a longstanding position in this country. There are people who are fearful of academics, fearful of scientists, fearful of people, institutions.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it's not completely groundless. I mean, there are things like the Tuskegee experiment. There are things that have been various groups, but that's not a reason to undermine the entire rationale behind the
Now, both of you fellas used to live in New York, and I know you've moved to South Carolina, I think, haven't you, Michael?
Yeah, I'm in South Carolina, but Sandy's down here for the weekend. So
that's wonderful.
But,
I'm glad you guys are reunited. You both used to live in New York. You knew Trump very well. You used to hear about him daily, I think, in the local news and stuff. How was he regarded in New York City? I think the nation needs to hear this.
I mean, it's fascinating, you know, because he has an awful track record in the tri-state area with regards to what happened in Atlantic City, and the development was there.
Deadbeat.
You know, in New York, he sort of came as advertised. You know, when he wrote The Art of the Deal, the main thrust of that book is how to create deals and insulate yourself no matter what the outcome is.
Yeah.
So that you come out okay. So what we have, you know, he was selling himself to America as a businessman, but what he really is a salesman, which is a very different thing.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Salesmen don't run infrastructures. They don't deal with people long term. They create a perceived need and then capitalize on it by selling people something, whether they need it or not.
Right.
That's a very different. It's a very different posture than from what people tend to make equivalences between those two things. But it is important to note that those are two different things, and he is only one of those things.
That's right. Good point.
And he was quite successful at that in that regard. The problem is the wreckage he left in his wake. He was very deftly able to, by his use of PR and his relationships with journalists, which he claims to abhor, they're a big part of his career. It's a big part of his life. I mean, he was known for writing his own press releases.
Yeah.
So this isn't, you know, when he, you know, he's stupid only to the extent that it serves its purposes, or he's perceived as stupid only to the extent that it
you know,
purposes.
You know what astounds me is that he has hoodwinked so many evangelicals who should really know better, and they don't. They just blindly accept his delusional talk as truth, and it's far from.
No, I think that's the Republican Party. I think that's Republican machine that did that. And you know what? The evangelicals and the before them, the moral majority, this little cadre of Republicans they're not really that quick. They're not really that strategically intelligent. They were ushered around by a few people out of the old rat fucker squad. And, you know, Bill Maher brought it up, and I was pretty stunned because it makes all kinds of sense, but you got lifelong, we talked about this last week, most of these guys like Bill Barr and Kavanaugh and before him, Justice Scalia, these were all guys who made their living as being, quote, Catholic lawyers. And there's patriarchy right there in your lap. And I think they've done a lot of the mechanizations that have brought these evangelicals and whatnot along. And just one other thing, you know, we're talking about a small group of people. We're talking about those people who are led with the drama of hate and fear and isolationism and the other, and they're upset about poverty and all kinds of viable points, but they've taken the tack they have. Well, they've always been here. This has never been a unified country. This has been a country ruled by the majority.
Exactly. And there's always been forces against that majority, and sometimes they've won and sometimes they've lost. And that's the story of America.
Well, down here, Scott went down and stole over 50,000 votes out of Broward County, and that made him and DeSantis the winners in an election, clearly, that would have gone to Gillum and that old fool Bill Nelson again. I mean, we're talking about some really bad corruption that just...
Well, if anything is justified as long as I win. That's the attitude. And it's so pervasive, especially in the Republican Party right now, and definitely in the Trump White House.
I profit, not I win. I profit. I profit.
Exactly.
Wait till you see the money that comes up with all of this stuff.
I can't wait to see his tax returns. I just can't wait.
That's high crimes and misdemeanors.
I, you know, the whole thing we talked about we know he's a liar, but talk about the evangelicals and talk about and something about the win. And it is all about the win. What we've done in this country is we're not any more separated than we were before, but the wedge issues have created win, right? So they're not going to vote. They are voting with Trump. Do they believe that Trump is converted and he's no. They have no belief.
I hope not.
They don't. Frankly, they don't care. Yeah. They know that to get the win, they have to vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
There is no option. So it's not a wave of support from evangelicals for Donald Trump. It's just that they have no option because the one issue that nationally they can move is abortion, and they are voting for guy who is going to be on their side. It's not about who Donald Trump is. They know he's a flawed person. They know all that stuff. And they can make all the stuff in the press about, well, he's a changed person, but nobody believes it.
No.
But it doesn't matter. They know that he is going to appoint the judges that they want. He is going to move in the direction that they want.
Yep.
And so it removes the rest of it. Like I said, the hypocrisy of Christianity, which Sandy and I were actually having a conversation about yesterday, is beside the point, okay? Because it is about the win. We win on this one issue, and that's what we're voting on.
They've been playing that cultural issue card for years and years and years, and they've been getting away with it. I hope people will finally begin to wake up and start to question this, because it's gotten way off the table.
Patriarchy.
Yeah, you know, Jack, I mean, I would say that there is work for us to do as lefts and as left people and progressives as well, because this issue with regards to religion and, you know, what Michael was just saying about the wedge issue concept that we've really been seeing it in place since Prohibition. That's how that series of laws was passed.
Right. Yeah.
That it was, you know, there are places for conservatives, progressives, people of faith, people who are atheists to come together on. But these, when you get into a issue concept, an idea like, you know, helping to end poverty or creating jobs or the various concerns we have about foreign policy, those can become central again. And those are things we have in common.
Right.
As people, safe. We, you know, we want fair trade. We want all kinds of things. But if you're told that the only thing that you need to go for is, you feel like, abortion one way or the other, it precludes all this other work that needs to be done. And we have to remember that while we deride these very visible evangelicals who are playing this political game very well for the better part of 40 years, we shouldn't forget we would have no civil rights movement in this country without religious people.
Good point.
Like Martin Luther King, like various pastors through the South who really took it on the chin and did the hard work that our politicians should have done.
Yep.
We, beginning of the Civil War, was instigated by one lone man of faith, you know, John Brown, who just decided he was going to get things started because he wasn't going to wait for his fellow man to come to his senses. And that was deeply rooted in his belief in a higher power. So however we may feel about those beliefs, and I certainly don't share them, I think that they express concerns that we all share as people, and we have to sort of stop treating that identity of a Christian person or a person who goes to church on Sunday or whatever that is as a wedge issue itself. You know, I think a lot of us, particularly coming from New York, I still live there, I've lived there my life, there is a real way in which progressives immediately stop talking, let's say, the local Catholic, pro-union Catholics who are frankly doing the heavy lifting in New York with regards to homeless shelters, volunteering work, and all that. Place for us to come together. And it's people like Trump and the forces behind him that have worked very diligently to let us not see that.
Right. Good point.
It's up to us to bring all of that together. We do want a better country, and we've gotten to this point where we keep pointing at each other and saying, I hope your boat sinks, but we are standing in the same boat.
Yeah, good point. Great point.
That's really how we have to face it, you know, because there's a lot of power there. There's a lot of people who do want the same things that we want, and, you know, that's, you know, more self-determination for people, more protection for people under the law, all sorts of ways, like job security and God knows what else. But we can't see it. We can't see it while we're arguing about Second Amendment issues, while we're arguing about abortion issues, as if those are the three things we need to solve.
We definitely need a streamlined argument for people to understand better what's really threatening them as opposed to what they think is threatening them, which are two different things.
Follow the money.
You know, I mean, we've always been a country where emotions are as important, if not more important, than facts, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Post 9/11, it didn't matter whether statistically something was going to happen or not. If you felt like it was going to happen, that drove a lot of that scary legislation that, you know, you all lived through, where we couldn't believe that, you know, the Congress was essentially abdicating its powers of oversight, but they did it. They did it out of pure fear that they felt personally, and that was communicated to them through their constituents. So we're still
fear
we're
can
still
really be detrimental to any kind of logical policy.
Yeah.
You know, it really can.
No, the Republican agenda has been a fear-mongering machine for a long while now.
Yep.
And basically what I think Sandy, I think it was Sandy who was speaking there, I think what he's saying to my ears is we're looking for a hero or a shero, someone who is speaking about what concerns the community in its entirety. And there are a couple of Democrats out there who are doing that.
Absolutely.
And you know, pushing aside the vitriol as much as possible and addressing what the issues are with people. I'll
mm-hmm.
tell you, with women, a very large issue came up with this abortion rights.
Abortion.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's being turned down by the courts, of course, in every state that it's gone through because it goes against federal law. But how long will that happen until it gets pushed through by some judge all the way over to the Supreme Court? That's what they're basically they're looking for.
That's what they're trying to do.
I'll tell you, there are a lot of very angry women right now in this country. It's interesting to watch how people are acting
and let
acting
us hope
out.
Let us really hope that women are, you know, they're the majority of the population, but we treat them like a small minority politically. You know, it's just weird, you know, electorally and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let us hope for sure that either President Warren or a President Harris succeeds Trump. Let's hope, you know. We need women's input, and those are very sensible, idea-driven women, and we could sure use a good dose of that type of medicine, I think.
Well, the midterms showed
the women,
anger vote and women's vote. On the on what's coming up, though, I mean, we have debates coming up this coming
can't
month.
Wait.
And there's going to be – that's when it's going to start to get – we're going to see the chaff from the wheat.
Yep.
That separation pretty quickly. I do want to say that I was very impressed with how forthright Pete Buttigieg was this past week with his addressing Corporal Bonespurs, as one of the Congress people called him. There are a lot of folks. Well, there are a lot of folks out there that claim one thing, and the hypocrisy is just incredible.
Oh, yeah, it's off the charts.
And yet, day by day, every day, it's like losing the species and the not just species, but the plant life that we're losing by the day. You can attach that now to the institutions in this country and how far we have gone with just as Michael was saying about how many spiritual people have stood up and said enough is enough. And I am very much the MLK example is the one I go by. You know, I'm not going to throw a rock. I'm going to stand in the street, hold my sign, and use my voice and my vote. And most people that I know on the left, you get the little uber lefty black bloc crowd or whatever. that's a very small contingency. They make their points, though. It's gotten really, it's building. There is a crescendo coming. But what's happening here, in my opinion, is the exposure of patriarchy, and it's not just America. Look what the Netherlands voted against, this kind of isolationism. But right now in France, they're losing to the Trumpite kind of conservatism and right-wing propaganda that is in England England's in complete chaos right
now. Oh, yeah. May's just going to resign here in early June. Yeah, that's really it's falling apart over there. Not good.
It's gone a little bit far down the road, I'd say. I mean, the Tories just seem to be rolling along, you know?
They have no new ideas, really, to speak of, and nothing really to offer their people. Just as Trump is the same way.
Well, you know what? The thing is that folks are saying, well, we know now that not everybody got out and voted in the last election. And yet, in the popular vote, Clinton won by over 3 million votes.
Right.
In Britain, they had the Brexit vote and people stayed home. But the people who wanted Brexit to go through, who were kissed off and, you know, wanted the gypsies out of town or whatever it was, unhappy about immigration. Well, immigration is something that's going to grow and it's going to get worse because of climate change.
Right.
And we're monsters. Look, 1,700 children die are kept in cages just
that's
last
outrageous.
Month alone.
You know, that is outrageous. Just on that issue alone, Trump ought to go down to a severe defeat, a record defeat, just for pulling that nonsense. It's outrageous. You see those poor children, they don't know what the hell end is up, and they're victims. They're victimized by an evil ogre who sits away in the White House. He's afraid of everybody but his own followers. It's sick.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing is about who we are as a country and what we're trying to do.
Right.
You're looking at people, and you're looking at us on the left, or the people that we know. Part of the problem is that we know people who are smart, people who are engaged, but that's not the majority of the country.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah, and it's sad to say that, you know, when we first engaged with you guys and we were so energized because we were pissed off, you know what
I mean? Right.
You do everything you can and you see that the country doesn't change. It just is, you know, that whole thing about the people on the left having to be inspired by something to vote pisses me off to no end.
Yeah,
because, you know, when you look at, and you know, one of the last pieces I wrote from before the last election was just about, this is about the Supreme Court. If you don't understand that, you know what, you people don't deserve the time of day.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand it, and this is where we are. And you know, people can't cry and moan about the outcome when they didn't do anything about it.
That's a good point. And you know, I refuse to go down like that. I refuse to go down that road. That's why I keep plugging along. I've got a very iron ass, and I do not like it when people just wimp out so easily. You know, you gotta face. There's adversity in politics. You don't just automatically get what you want just because you want it. That's not good enough. You gotta work for it.
Right. But people don't want to work for it. See, that's where we are in America as the instant gratification society. We've grown. And so that if you don't get what you want immediately, like I said, we wrote tons of things about the left turning on Obama because they didn't get exactly what they wanted as soon as he came to office.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
That instant gratification society that we have now just refuses to look at the long game.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's a very Mike's right on target about that, because ultimately, what that attitude does is it completely ignores the fact that there are forces working against you getting what you believe is a fair society. It's not like it's just not happening because people aren't showing the work on time in D.C. There is money. There are corporate special interests working against all of
them. All those bad guys. We've got to keep fighting them. We cannot. We've got to be relentless. We've got to be as relentless as they are. We cannot take no for an answer. We've just got to keep pushing, pushing, pushing until we finally get at least a little something that we believe we deserve and we truly do deserve.
That's
yeah,
for sure.
It's rough. It's rough. Like I said, I have lost a lot of faith in the Americans as a whole. I really have. And
too bought
out.
That.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because people just do things, or as a whole, we're so dumb as a nation. And
right.
I just don't understand it. And it's so hard to push through that. And,
well,
and
you know, I've maintained this for a long time. We have been brainwashed by entertainment for so long. We think everything has to be fun and inviting and exciting. And, you know, that's not life. That's unrealistic
right.
expectation. But we believe it. That's what it has to be. Otherwise, we walk away from it. And that's despicable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I don't know what the answer is to any of this. I honestly don't. I know that on our end, we will keep on fighting and still believing in what we believe. But
yeah,
it's
brother,
so
you got
hard.
It.
It's so hard when you're fighting against, like I said, our society, which is all about instant gratification,
and
which
consumerism.
Is and consumerism, and how do we push past that? Like I said, when we're on the left, and one of the things that people say is that if people on the left aren't inspired, they're not going to get out and vote. And that just that tears at me because that's we have so many issues that need to be pushed forward. And if
yep.
we don't get out and vote, they don't happen.
They don't start.
They don't start. And,
but we're stuck.
We've got to
but
do a much better job at educating, and that's what our blogs and our radio programs are all about. We've got to be relentless. We've got to keep batting our heads against the wall until finally part of it starts to crumble, and it will happen. It just takes forever. It seems
forever. You know, gentlemen, I got to tell you, I'm down here in South Florida, well, a little bit north than where I used to be, but where I grew up in Lighthouse Point, our inland town was Coral Springs and Parkland, and I've known Parkland families. For years, since, you know, that's where I grew up, those Parkland kids made a huge difference and are
yes.
still making a huge difference. The women of this country are making a huge difference. I would remind you, I had that discussion with Professor Ron about him saying, well, you got to go with what you know is going to win, the old Democrat machine stuff, that DCCC, go with it. Well, I said, no, you don't. I said, Gillum is going to win because we're for him. He's progressive. We're going to stand behind him. And he won the primary. He actually won the primary.
Yeah.
And he did win the governorship. And he really did. It was stolen.
It was stolen. He was sabotaged by big money, you know.
Those midterm elections brought 100 new people in to the Congress, and the majority of them were women, and women of color, and women. I mean, who of us doesn't admire what AOC is accomplishing just by being there?
I love her so much. I did my July 4th blog on her because she had just won in New York, and I was so delighted to see a real progressive like her, a young person, winning, a person of color winning. What a great, great event that was.
Well, and she's also effective as
yes.
a legislator.
She's sharp
effective.
As a tack.
She and all the other women that are working with her, and that's why there's such a big hoo-ha in the Democratic Party right now, because one side of the room is saying, we understand and respect your leadership. However, this is the reality, and we are here as proof of what it is. Pelosi's going to have to make a choice here very quick
yeah.
on what she's going to do, because I don't think that anybody's going to vote for the Starbucks man, but
no,
he's
dreaming.
And a lot of people are saying, I am seeing over and over again, even friends I know who didn't want to vote for Hillary and voted for Johnson are like, I will never make that mistake again. You know,
well, you can't
like,
sit out an election. Trump is a proof of that. You just cannot take for granted the fact that, oh, a guy is so, he's so detestable, he'll never get elected because the son of a bitch did. And we can't ever make that mistake ever again.
Well, you know, people say that, but remember, you know, they said that after Ralph Nader when Gore lost, and they said, oh,
right,
I'll never
right.
make that mistake. But, you know,
right.
they do. And this is the left. And I've bemoaned this over and over and over again, how we can't get together and go, we need to do this. You know, we are so individualistic, which is crazy because we're all supposed to be the collective. But there's a certain percentage that is individualistic going, you know what, I'm going to do this because I feel like it's the right thing, even though they know it's going to hurt us in the long run. And it's so annoying.
It is very annoying. It's very frustrating.
Part of it's in our DNA, you know, because the right follows and organizes,
right.
and the left argues itself.
Right.
Oftentimes through, you know, our detriment.
Yep.
I do think that you can count on the majority of the women on this side of the street to go out and vote for the Democrat. And I think you can count on women getting more into the community. I mean, I hang around with the Indivisible group down here and a few others. And younger women in their 30s and 40s, are looking into running for office in my state. And that's an important thing. The other thing, that it's not just a presidential election here. We have to get these senators out of seat.
Yes.
Yep. Listen, guys, we're going to let you go. I know you're going to wrap up your show. I just wanted to say I'm constantly amazed by your energy of the two of you, and we're thankful that you guys are still out there fighting.
And we're
fight
thankful
and...
you guys are out there fighting still, too. And it's great to hear from you again. It's been too long. Please come back.
I miss you guys.
I miss you guys. Something awful.
Jump in. Both it, Sandy,
at any time.
Jump in whenever you can. We miss you.
Absolutely.
All the best
like
to both of you.
Best to you guys too, and
like
thanks.
I always say, keep pushing forward. It's the only way to go.
Absolutely, and we will talk to you guys soon. Okay.
We look forward to it. Thank you so much for calling in today. It was wonderful to hear from you again.
All right.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. All the best to you. Keep pushing forward.
Now, that was great. That was Michael Hugh and Sandy Jimenez, who have run a blog for years called Ham Sandwich, and they're very committed progressive men. what a wonderful thing to hear from them! Really.
Oh yeah, great. And it's nice to see they haven't been corrupted. You know, it's wonderful to see that they're frustrated and discouraged like we all get. But they have not lost their vitality and their chutzpah. They've got it, you know. They've just got to keep using it like we have to do. So it's the only way to go.
I have to mention that for years since we began this show, Jack, we've had this one troll that keeps coming called Volper something. He's a shark kind of logo.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've opened the chat back up, he comes back and throws all of his Trump trash at us.
He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better.
I was seeing that on the board, and I want to wish him a real happy Memorial Day. Thanks for stopping by, fella.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. And that's one other thing before we sign off here. There's many reasons to Memorial Day is about remembering those who have fallen. And I think we can give that out at the end of the show here. Spend your Memorial Day thinking about how many we don't want to have falling anymore, you know?
Right. Good point. Yeah. And let's remember with reverence the people who have given their lives for our country, and even in our own personal lives, our relatives and friends that have passed. They should not be forgotten. They should be long remembered.
Absolutely. I walk with 10,000 ancestors, honey.
There you go. Well put. Well put. Well, everybody, it's been great as usual. We'll look forward to talking with you again next Sunday. And until then, keep pushing forward, and we will win. There's no doubt we will win.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.